I invite you to remain standing and open your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 50:50. And this morning, we'll be in verses 4 through 11. So Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 11. This is the third of the four so-called servant songs. And verses 4 through 9 take the form of a soliloquy. That is, the servant is talking to himself. But he's letting us in on some of the most deeply personal areas of his life. So this is Jesus some 700 years before the cross. But we get the intense feeling that we're only a step away from the cross. So hear the word of the Lord. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. Father, may my words point to Christ. May I speak not to please people, but to please you. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear as those who are taught. Amen. Please be seated. Listening. This song is about listening. Who do you listen to? And whose voice do you hear? So we have a problem. We are to listen to the voice of the servant. But the truth of the matter is, we spend a whole lot of time just listening to ourselves. So the problem is, we listen to ourselves instead of listening to God. Now, I think this problem has at least three important manifestations. Number one, listening to ourselves is listening to a lie. Number two, listening to ourselves distorts our understanding of suffering. And number three, listening to ourselves eventually leads to lying down in torment forever. And the solution to the problem is to follow the example of the servant. So let's take that first manifestation. Listening to ourselves is listening to a lie. You know what the original sin was, don't you? It was man listening to himself and saying, I want to be the one who decides what's right or wrong. God reveals himself through his creation, but he never meant for Adam and Eve to interpret creation for themselves. So in the Garden of Eden, they listened to God's voice, and they were required to respond with obedience, with trust, and with adoration. But then another interpreter of reality came on the scene and convinced our parents to disobey God's voice and start listening to their own voice. And it was easy for Satan to do that. He just told them what they wanted to hear. Did God actually say that? You know, you can be like God. You can use your own reasoning ability to know good and evil. You can make your own decisions, follow your dreams, and you can live your best life now. If you want people to believe you, just tell them what they want to hear. And the rest of the biblical narrative reveals this pattern over and over again. When God speaks, man must listen, obey, and trust. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the 20th century minister, and he was also a medical doctor, wrote this: "Have you not realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself?" And when he said talking to yourself, he meant preaching to yourself. So if listening to ourselves instead of listening to God is our problem, what are we going to do about it? Well, verse 4 gives us the insight we need. We see that the learned servant with a learned tongue only listens to the word of God. Verse 4 starts out this way: "The Lord God." Okay, I'm going to pause right there to show you something. Notice that in this song, the Lord God, the sovereign Lord, Yahweh, appears four times. In verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, and again in verse 9. In verses 4 and 5, the servant says it's the Lord God who has called him. In verses 7 and 9, he says it's the Lord God that will help him do what he's been called to do. The servant is absolutely sure of the sovereignty of the Lord and what God has called him to do. And he's absolutely sure that the Lord God's plan will be accomplished. This is important, because if God has called you to do something, he will help you accomplish it. So verse 4 says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught." The servant is a disciple, and a disciple is more than a servant. A disciple is a learner. A disciple listens to the teacher in order to master what the teacher is teaching. And to be a disciple of God means to open your ears to the Word of God. And the servant of the Lord is immersed in the Scriptures. Tim Keller reminds us that Jesus was always quoting Scripture, much more than any of us do. Jesus quoted from 24 Old Testament books, and he submitted to Scripture in every part of his life. Every crisis he faced, every situation he found himself in, he submitted to Scripture. And he would say things like, "It is written," or "Have you not read?" When the devil tempts him, he says, "It is written." When the Pharisees said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath," he said, "Have you not read?" When Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, he says, "It is written." When he's on the way to Calvary and the women are weeping, he says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children." And then he quotes from the book of Hosea. Even on the cross, he's dying. He's suffering unimaginable agony. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know what he's doing? He's quoting Psalm 22, verse 1. Jesus didn't suffer without the Scriptures. And neither should we. Jesus didn't do anything without the Scriptures. And neither should we. Jesus couldn't live his life without the Scriptures. And if the Son of God couldn't do it, what chance do we have? How can we possibly think that we can live our lives without being immersed in the Bible when that's something even Jesus Christ himself didn't do? Verse 4 says, morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Morning by morning means that every day he was listening to the Word of God. And the New Testament says that Jesus would get up while it was still dark, and he would go to a desolate place, and he would talk to the Father, and he would listen to the Father. And this is meant to be done every day over a lifetime, morning by morning, reading Scriptures, praying Scripture, meditating on Scripture, memorizing Scripture, listening to the reading of Scripture, the preaching of Scripture. It's the only way God can awaken your ear to hear. And if you're doing that, you're not listening to yourself. You're not listening to a lie. On the contrary, you're becoming more Christ-like. And over time, it will change you. It will change your life. As Frank read from Psalm 1 this morning, you'll be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. So what does the servant do with all this knowledge? Does he use it to win a Bible trivia contest? Hardly. Look what verse 4 says. He was given the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus tells the weary, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus' personal invitation to respond to the gospel call. So, who are the weary? People who are weary with sin, weary with life, people who are suffering. Come to Jesus. Learn from him. He will give you rest. You know, we also need to be able to sustain those who are weary. So how are you doing with that? Are you good at helping people who are suffering? Jesus is the only wonderful counselor. But we also need to listen to one another. And you can't listen to someone if you're listening to yourself. In other words, you must become a gospel humble person in order to help someone. C.S. Lewis, in his famous book, Mere Christianity, and I'm just going to paraphrase what he wrote. He said, if you ever meet a truly gospel humble person, you won't necessarily think of them as humble. What you will remember about this person is that they seem totally interested in you, and not in themselves. Because the essence of gospel humility is not to think more of yourself or to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less and to listen to God so you can listen to others and sustain weary people with a word. Listening to God will give you the tongue of those who are taught. So our first manifestation to the problem of listening to ourselves instead of listening to God is that listening to ourselves is listening to a lie. The second one is that listening to ourselves distorts our understanding of suffering. And if you listen to God, you will suffer and you will be willing to do it. We get insight on this one from verse 5 all the way through verse 9. where we see that the servant suffers willingly. He suffers with confidence, and it's because he knows he will be vindicated. Verse 5 says, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward." So in the morning by morning meditating on the scriptures, God opened the servant's ears. He opened his mind, and the servant realized that he would suffer the worst kind of suffering. But he was not rebellious. He didn't turn back. He was willing. And we will suffer as well. The question is, are you prepared? J.I. Packer has a broad definition of suffering. He says, suffering is in the mind of the sufferer. And he defines it this way. Suffering is getting what you do not want while wanting what you do not get. So this definition covers a wide range of loss, hurt, pain, grief, weakness. It covers all those experiences of rejection, injustice, discouragement. It covers all those times you've been the object of hatred, ridicule, cruelty, anger. And it covers all those horrible, unspeakable things that may have happened to you. The kind of things that make you want to scream or run or even die. And if you're listening to yourself, you're shockingly unaware that suffering is business as usual for the believer. And the Word of God wants us to know that we should not only expect to suffer, we should value suffering. Because suffering produces fortitude. And fortitude is courage with endurance. Paul says in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, and Spencer read this morning, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." So what do we get from suffering if we're in Christ? We get endurance, character, and hope. So we should rejoice even as we suffer. Suffering also glorifies God. And you see that in this song. Look what verse 6 says. "I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." Packer says verse 6 is an example of the law of the harvest, meaning before there is blessing anywhere, there must be suffering somewhere. And the implication is that the word that sustains the weary only becomes known through the experience of hatred and brutality. Isaiah is telling us that they're parts of a single package. So the servant was not only willing, he had the utmost confidence in his suffering. And verses 7 and 8 tell us why. It says, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me." Or as we say in Texas, come and take it. So the servant suffers willingly, and he's determined to do it. Flint is an extremely hard metal. And the servant has that kind of hard determination. But he's confident, because he knows he has God's help. And we can suffer willingly and with confidence as well if we put our trust in Christ and only in Christ. Verse 9 says, "Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up." So we have a courtroom scene here. And the verdict is in. The servant is vindicated. What will happen to the accusers of Jesus? Like old worn out clothes, the moths will eat them up. So the first manifestation of our problem is that listening to ourselves is listening to a lie. The second one is that listening to ourselves distorts our understanding of suffering. And there's a third manifestation of listening to ourselves, and that's that it will eventually lead to lying down in torment forever. So as Ronald Reagan famously said, now is a time for choosing. Verses 10 and 11 serve as an epilogue to the song, or a conclusion to the song. And it gives us the insight there are two ways to live. Listen to Christ or listen to yourself. There's no middle ground here. Choose life or choose death. Verse 10 says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. We might be in the darkness. We might be suffering. And we might be in the darkness because we're listening to and obeying God. But here's a great truth. Faith offsets darkness. Faith is what darkness is for. It's in the darkness that we trust in the name of the Lord. When nothing makes sense, when we're in darkness and there's no visible path forward and everything seems to be closing in around us, what should we do? We should preach to ourselves the promises of the gospel again and again and again, because the word of God is the most powerful force in the universe. It has the power to change us so that the way we live our lives will declare that God is a good Savior. And the way we live our lives is how we show we really are listening to Christ. Verse 11 gives us the other way to live. It says, behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. The Christian way of life is radical. It's countercultural. And people listening to themselves will look for ways to make it less radical. So they'll light their own fires. They'll come up with their own ideas to live by. They'll choose what part of the Bible they want to believe and what part of the Bible they don't want to believe. After all, why listen to Christ when there are easier ways to live? So they'll live a life that's convenient for them and soft. People who fall for that lie don't really believe in their hearts that Christ can be counted on when it matters. So they make their own way. Proverbs 16:25 puts it this way. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. C.S. Lewis said that the safest road to hell is a gradual one. What he called the gentle slope. No sudden turnings, just a gradual decline. You know, you can tell the difference between verse 10 people and verse 11 people by the way they handle the darkness. Some people hold on to the Lord more closely in the middle of their pain and become more compassionate with others who suffer. Other people become cynical. They feel sorry for themselves. They become victims, and they wallow in self-pity. There's a writer named Thomas Schmidt who tells a story about a woman he met in a nursing home some years ago. Her name was Mabel. Mabel was blind. She was also deaf. She was also disease-ridden, cancerous. She was 89 years old at the time. And she had been bedridden for 25 years. He asked her, what she thought about during her lonely days and nights? She says, I think about Jesus. Schmidt asked, what do you think about Jesus? She said, I think about how good he's been to me. He's been awfully good to me in my life, you know. I'm one of those kind who's mostly satisfied. Lots of folks wouldn't care much for what I think. Lots of folks would think I'm kind of old-fashioned. But I don't care. I'd rather have Jesus. He's all the world to me. Folks, you'll never really know that Jesus is all you need until you realize that Jesus is all you have that's permanent. Everything else in your life and everyone else in your life are only temporary. And if you have Christ, you have more than enough, no matter how many things you don't have in this world. Well, let me summarize. I said at the beginning, the problem is we listen to ourselves instead of listening to God. And I said that problem had certain manifestations. One is that listening to yourself is listening to a lie. And I said the solution to that is to fill your mind with the Word of God instead of your own thoughts. I said that listening to yourself distorts your understanding of suffering. But if you listen to the Word of God, you'll know that suffering should not only be expected, it should be valued. And I said that listening to yourself eventually leads to lying down in torment. So you have a choice to make. Follow Christ or follow yourself. With Jesus, you're either all in or you're all out. I plead with you. Choose Christ and choose Christ every day. Die to self, live in Christ, morning by morning. Every day, all day. Finally, I have a call to action for us. John Piper, in commenting on what Martin Lloyd-Jones said, you know, about how we need to stop listening to ourselves and start preaching to ourselves. Piper said that if there's ever a reason to memorize Romans chapter 8, this is it. To use it for self-preaching. In fact, Romans 8, 31 through 39, that passage has been called the Christian variant of Isaiah's third servant song. So let's take Piper's advice. Let's use Romans 8 to preach to ourselves. I wonder what it would sound like. Maybe it would sound something like this. Hey, self, listen up. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Listen, self. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Whose self will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, self, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You got that, self? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, may we leave here this morning with a new commitment to fill our minds with your word instead of our own thoughts. A new commitment to understand the darkness and suffering the way you want us to understand it. And a new commitment to preach the promises of the gospel to ourselves again and again. Amen.